and the GM live out at Bridgestone Arena. Floyd, they were mad at me yesterday. Oh, boy, were they mad at me.
Who was mad at you?
Everybody.
Oh.
But so mad. Chris Mason, Preds TV analyst, he was really mad at me. He's going to come on the show in 15 minutes. He wants to debate. Because yesterday I kind of said, I think the Pekka for Vezina stuff is a little ridiculous. And so Chris texts me this morning. And, you know, first let me say, I love that man like a brother. But he texted me this morning and said, I heard you called me out. You need to have me on the show to debate. And I said, debate what? I think he's already won the Vezina trophy. Plus, the people who vote for the Vezina trophy don't spend a lot of time on Twitter. I could be wrong. Maybe the NHL GMs love reading Twitter. I could be wrong. But you're a GM, and you said as a GM, if you had the voting responsibility of that award yesterday, you said that you would not base your opinions on who to vote for based off of Twitter.
Yeah, I don't base much on Twitter.
And that's probably the right way to live life. But he was mad at me. So he's coming on in 15 minutes to debate. And I still am not totally sure what exactly he wants to debate, but we will debate. Because, you know, Skip Bayless came out and said this week, said that he thinks he's the best debater on TV. He thinks he's the Michael Jordan of sports debaters, like that there's nobody else in his realm, and that he's never lost a debate on television before. I don't feel that strongly about my debate skills, but I feel pretty good about them.
Like Skip Jr.?
No.
Skip Jr. kind of debating skills?
No. I feel like a very modest, very successful sports debater. So again, my whole take is this. I think Pekka Rinne has already won the Vezina trophy. He's the best goalie. He is the best goalie in the league. Best goalie this season. The stats say it. The games say it. His team's performance says it. And listen to his players that he plays with. PK Subban was asked about Pekka Rinne and the whole Pekka Vezina thing. And this is what PK Subban said.
You know, I've said it before. It's just my opinion. But, you know, a lot of these things are, like, subjective, you know, to people's opinions. And I know that in our locker room and in our organization, there's no question on the importance that he is to our team. And, you know, I mean, I know people are talking about the Vezina, but I think he should be in the conversation for MVP as well. You know, I mean, we got a great team. We do. And, you know, we have trust in both our goaltenders. But, you know, for him and what he's accomplished this year, and not just this year, but last year and really his whole career, you know, he's done it pretty consistently. And this year is just, he's been a really, really good. And he's been a rock for us back there. And
Yes. But what PK said that was the most important part from what I heard was, I mean, I know all the talks about the Vezina, but he should be the MVP. That's all I've been saying.
Is that what he said?
That's what he said.
Did he say that?
That's what I heard.
You want to run that part back again, Ian? I think he said considered for the MVP.
Well, I take that to be the pet.
You take that differently. Not what he says.
MVP of the league.
Not what he says, but how you interpret it.
I'm telling you, again, the discussion should be MVP. The discussion should not be Vezina. And I'm having a hard time understanding why people are mad at me, why Chris Mason wants to debate me about this whole thing about the Vezina. He's won the Vezina. It's over. So why are we arguing about whether or not we should be arguing about that? He's won it. It's done. It's over. Finito. See ya. That's why PK's like, hey, I know all y'all are talking about the Vezina, but hey, MVP. And that's how I feel. MVP. Nick Bonino was asked today by our own Chase McCabe to sit down one-on-one in the pregame. You'll hear the full interview. This is what Nick Bonino said when they talked about the MVP.
He's our MVP, hands down. I think we aren't where we are without him, no question. You know, I don't do the voting for the awards, but I think if you look at his numbers, he's at 40 wins in fewer games than anyone else. He's, you know, top three in every statistical category. His numbers speak for themselves. So I think the better thing is he's a better guy. He's a great teammate, great goalie, and obviously you want to see him, you know, get the praise he deserves.
So the team is saying, yes, MVP. He's MVP of the team. He should be in the MVP discussion, and I agree. And I'm trying to figure out why Preds fans are not wanting to have that discussion. Like, they don't want to talk about it. They do not want to talk about the fact that their goalie should be MVP of the league. I don't get it. They want to talk about how he should be the goalie of the year, but not the MVP of the league. Why do they not want to talk about that?
I you know what? I can't help you. I just can't help you. I mean, you're going to hear what you want to hear, and you're going to play it the way you want to play.
Okay, then what are you hearing?
I would go – you know what? Go for it. I mean, that doesn't make it true, but I would go for it. I'm not hearing anything.
Well, when you hear those clips we just played, what do you hear?
I heard one say he should be considered, which I think we've all said for the last 2 weeks.
No, only I've said that.
Okay. Okay, and then it doesn't matter what the other one said. You're going to play it any way you want to play it.
I'm not playing it. I'm not spinning it. I joked to you earlier today about me having a Johnny Manziel take that I don't actually have and how I couldn't have the Johnny Manziel take because I just didn't believe it. And in this instance, I totally believe this. It's like everybody – it's like I'm sitting there saying, okay, you weigh 200 pounds right now. What's your weight goal? Oh, my weight goal is 195. Why be 195 when your goal theoretically could be 185? Why not? That's what I don't get. I don't get why people are like so – it's like somebody who's kind of afraid to swim to the deepest part of the pool, so they just kind of stay there in the middle like, I'm good. My feet can touch right here, so I'm good right here in the Vezina spot. He's won the Vezina. There is no way, unless he gives up like 10 goals a game for the rest of the season, there is no way, in my opinion, that he does not win the Vezina trophy. No way, no how. It's his. Are you ready for it? I'm about to do it. Dun, 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 dun. I am guaranteeing that Pekka will win the Vezina trophy. So now that that's taken care of.
See, in your mind, that was really dramatic. That was something special you just did. I mean, did you see what I did? World, did you see?
I don't guarantee things very often.
Oh.
And I'm 66% in my guarantees. I'm 66%.
I have never been around anybody more consistently incorrect than you are.
Yeah, but again, there's a difference between like an opinion and a guarantee.
No, not from you. It's all. Da, 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 da.
Would you like to guarantee
you
something?
You are delusional. No, I don't want to guarantee you anything.
Da, 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 da. He's won it. I think he's won it. Do you think he's won it?
I think everybody thinks he's won it.
Then why do we have to campaign?
I don't hear anybody campaigning. You're the one that's doing the campaigning.
They put up – I'm campaigning for the MVP. They put up – Chris Mason's going to join us. He's been leading the campaign on the Vezina.
There you go. Give you guys something to debate. I want to hear the debate.
Why you look so excited? I don't know what we're going to debate.
I don't know either.
I mean, he's – again, I don't know. I mean, you know, it is what it is. Let's go to your phones. Robert is up next here on Jared and the GM. Thank you for calling. What's up, Robert?
I just got one thing to say. Like, Alabama fans they've become a Predator fans. That's why we don't care about the MVP. We care about championships. Now, if he gets the MVP, that's great, but let's focus on the championship, baby.
Yeah, I think Alabama fans, thank you for the call, Robert. I think they do care about the Heisman Trophy.
I don't know. When's the last time I had one?
Derrick Henry. So, I mean, Alabama fans follow Alabama players in the NFL.
I'll say this, though. Nobody spends as much time talking about trophies as hockey guys.
Oh, yeah.
No. Nobody.
And there's so many, like, unwritten rules of the voting that's not the...
so much of a discussion. It is such a big deal in hockey as compared to... you know, other sports.
People are mad at me now on Twitter for gigantic. Guaranteeing. People are mad because I guaranteed Pekka will win.
Because they know that you probably hexed him.
He's going to win it, folks. He's going to win it. It's his. Congratulations to Pekka. Chris Mason, though, we will debate. Whatever Chris wants to debate, we will do that next. If he wants to debate the difference between Haas avocados and non-Haas avocados. I don't know another avocado brand. If he wants to debate that, we will debate that. But my guess is he wants to debate the Vezina Trophy thing. So we will get into that next. 615-737-1025. It's Jared and the GM live from Bridgestone Arena. Hey, let me tell you about my friends at Authentically American. I know a lot of business owners out there are wondering, okay, what's best for my business? What's the best marketing strategy? What's the best plan I can have? What's the best? And the word for me with you and your business is quality. And that's what you will get with my friends at Authentically American. You and your employees will be wearing quality made in the USA apparel. Authentically American is a veteran-owned company, and they are passionate about creating U.S. jobs and, again, making the best branded apparel you can find for your business. It is a high-quality product made right here in the United States, and not only will you be proud to have your employees in it, but your employees will be proud to wear it. High quality tees, polos, hats, jackets, Oxford socks, vests, and more made right here in the United States. Whether you have five employees or you're that Fortune 500 company, Authentically American has you covered with low to no minimums, so the small business owner can support made in the USA. When you order, Authentically American will donate 10% of all sales to veteran charities and our American heroes making good products and looking to do good at the same time. I want to emphasize the top line sales because there are no accounting games at Authentically American. Authentically American's website is so American that it's authenticallyamerican.us. .us just makes sense. Check them out today. If you want to be proud of where your apparel is made, the choice is simple. It's authenticallyamerican.us. If you have a made in America need, contact Authentically American today through their website. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Reds take on Toronto tonight right here. And by the way, I am telling all of you out there, if Pecorine pitches a shutout, which is a very high standard to ask for, but because it's Toronto, if Pecorine pitches a shutout tonight against Toronto, all the talk around the league will be, is Pecorine in the mix to win the Hart Trophy? When this show has been telling you that he should have been a candidate for about the last couple of weeks. And that's why I think he's already won the Vezina Trophy. I think it's done. I think it's signed, sealed, delivered. I think they can go ahead and mail it. 501 Broadway, Nashville, Tennessee. I think they can do that right now. And that's why I think the marketing campaign or whatever the campaigning they're doing for Pekka for Vezina is a little pointless from the sense that he's already won. And now it's time to shoot your sights on the very top. And Preds analyst Chris Mason wants to debate me, so we have him on the show. Chris, why do you not like my take about the Pekka for the Hart movement that it should be instead of for the Vezina?
No, that's not the point. My point is yesterday that you said we're not respecting our goaltender enough because we're only saying for the Vezina Trophy. And this all began a few weeks ago because I started listening to multiple talk radio and NHL Network stuff and a bunch of other hockey media outlets, and everybody was saying, even though the numbers said otherwise, and obviously we feel otherwise, they were still saying Vasilevsky's a front runner for the Vezina Trophy, blah, blah, blah. Pecorine's having a great season. He's in the conversation along with a handful of other guys. So my goal was to change the narrative completely on that. How are you gonna say Pekka for Hart Trophy when he's not even the front runner for the Vezina? That's my point. That's why it's a step-by-step process here. Do I think Pecorine is in the should be considered for the Hart Trophy? Of course I do. Of course I do. But now what is everybody saying? All the media outlets, all the analytic guys, they've come up to the forefront and they've shared their information, and everybody says Pekka for Vezina. And I guarantee, I agree with you that I think it's about as good as mailed in. For him to win that trophy, he deserves to win it, and that's why we're fighting so hard. And for the Hart Trophy, I just think it's easy for somebody, for you, to say, hey, of course he's going to have the Vezina. Why don't we do the Hart? They're not doing they should be doing the Hart. I can't believe they're not doing that. That's
unfair analysis. Well, but see, here's my thing. Number one, the take is even the campaigning, the general managers are the one who vote on that award. So the general managers, are they going to be swayed by what they hear on talk radio?
I hope a general manager is not swayed by what he hears on talk radio. Oh, are you serious? They listen to exactly the same media outlets, and yes, they are swayed. They listen to, how do you think contracts, guys that play in Canada, get signed for huge contracts for American teams? It's the media that pushes these guys. They get you, when you hear a narrative for so long, they're not immune to it. Believe me, I've done my research on this. They're not immune to the all-knowing hockey people. They listen to what everybody says. Believe it or not, they probably listen to what you say as well. But they listen to everybody, all the big media outlets up in Canada. It's influential. And when you hear something over and over again, that becomes your train of thought, and they're not immune to it.
So why are you not pushing the Hart Trophy? Because the Hart Trophy is picked by the media, and the media does watch all that stuff and does listen to everything and does. So if I'm going to hear talk about, well, Nathan MacKinnon and Taylor Hall and Nikita Kucherov, and why not push the narrative for the Hart Trophy when he has been the most valuable player on the best team in the league?
Well, that's the thing. If he's not the front runner for the Vezina Trophy in the media's eyes, how is he going to be considered for the Hart Trophy? They'd laugh you out of the joint. You know, it's one of those things, and you have to get that going first. And once they say, hey, look, obviously this isn't even close anymore. You know, we've done the research, and I talked to some of the media guys today in Toronto, and they take their votes very seriously because now they're going to be whoever they pick and is going to be exposed, and people will know who all these guys pick, so they're going to have to be even more accountable. So that's a good thing. So my biggest thing, of course we think, how, you know, valuable do we think Pecorino is, the most valuable player on the team, you know, and especially in our my eyes and probably everybody's eyes. But the my issue was that you said we're not respecting him enough by going just for the Vezina Trophy. And this thing is a two-step kind of process, and it really struck a chord with me.
I still feel, though, like that's shooting for a B on the test when you could be shooting for an A.
Yeah, but you can't put one foot in front without the other. You have to do this in step by step. Like I said, I said it earlier, how are people going to consider Pecorino for the Hart Trophy if he wasn't even considered the front runner for the Vezina? It just doesn't work like that.
And how much of that, though, Chris Mason with us, how much, in your opinion, do you think, though, like that the Pekka for Vezina movement has picked up Pekka's standing in the Vezina Trophy, and how much of it has been the fact that in the last 2 weeks he's been downright dominant and Andrei Vasilevskiy has kind of taken a step back a little bit from where he was playing earlier in the year?
Well, earlier that was the thing. They were going on the first 3 months of the season where he was lights out, and that's the power of the media and the narrative. It just continued on through the season. That's even obviously Pekka has helped his own stock the last 2 weeks, but 2 or 3 weeks ago the numbers were the same thing. He had all the statistical advantages in every single category except for wins at that point. He's one behind now. He's played less games, but that was the only one. And it was because of last games. He had a better winning percentage. And you go right down the list, and you could check every single box on Pecorino for that one. And that was why it shocked me so much. And these guys, and so every media show or every radio show I went, I prefaced saying, hey, I just want to talk about Pecorino if you have me on. Sure, no problem. And almost all of them said, hey, I just want to get this out in the open. I'm in the Vasilevskiy crowd. I believe he's the front runner. So I'd debate them and ask them why they said that, and they'd say, well, the defense and all this kind of stuff. And anyway, it went on and on. Now you don't hear anybody saying Vasilevskiy. It's all Pecorino. So it's the information being brought to the forefront, and then everybody, it just circulates around and around, and then now everybody understands, I think. And Pekka, like you said, he's helped his cause more than anybody. It's not me or anybody else pushing the narrative. It's Pekka.
Well, he hasn't lost a start in a month. I mean, that's why I know, like, that in the month that there's been a lot of progress in that discussion. But I think a lot of that progress in that discussion is not just because of you making the discussion, which I actually like, but more so that he hasn't lost.
Well,
I mean,
he's 19-1-1. I mean, he's
dominant.
He's been dominant. That's right. But that's why it surprised me that people were still saying that. And I believe me, I'm not trying to take credit for this. I don't think it was me. It's Pekka's the one obviously doing it. But it just shocks me that, you know, people will still just regurgitate what they heard from this guy or that guy as fact. And then that's the way it is. And it was actually really an eye-opener for me, in the, you know, being in the media now. So that's the whole point.
See, that's why everybody should listen to this show, because we just tell it how it is, Chris.
Well, I certainly wasn't disrespecting our goalies, so that's not saying how it is.
Well, I would say this, though. My thing is this. Again, are you still on the Pekka for Vezina train, or are you now getting off that train since, as you said, you think that he's won it like I think he's won it, and now moving to Pekka for the Hart train?
Yeah, well, I think I 100% think he's in the conversation. I think there's a lot of other guys in that conversation as well. The Vezina, there's nobody. It's Pekka, and it's not even close. That's the only name on the ballot. As far as I'm concerned, there's nobody. There's a lot of other guys. I don't want to minimize other goaltenders in this league that are having great seasons, but Pekka's this year is just that much better than everybody else. The Hart Trophy, Pekka's in the discussion, no question. But there are other guys that I think that are in that. And this is the thing about this award. It's the most valuable player award, but it always seems to go to offensive hockey players. It doesn't.
I hate defense, that.
I do too. Defense get left out, goalies get left out, and that's the thing that really kind of bugs me about that award. For whatever reason, they pick the guy who scores the most points usually, and that's not the way it should be.
Then that's why there's got to be a campaign trail of somebody saying it's most valuable player and not most valuable forward, and that's the whole point I'm trying to make. Like, that's the whole point I'm trying to make. I agree with you. I think everything you've said, I almost agree with to a T, except that, again, it's like I feel like sometimes we settle for this. We sit there and we say, well, you know, the MVP usually goes to forwards, which is true, but it does sometimes go to goalies. And in this instance, I think this goalie has done enough to where he is a better candidate for more valuable to a better team than Nathan MacKinnon is to his team, or Taylor Hall is to his team, or Nikita Kucherov is to his team. I don't know how you can make the case for Nikita Kucherov. He plays with Victor Hedman, Steven Stamkos, and Andrei Vasilevsky. I have no idea. Other than just sheer numbers that you can say, well, he scored a bunch of goals, has a bunch of assists, so he should win the award.
Well, that's the point. That's the whole point of this hypocritical award, because that's the thing about Vasilevsky there. I was saying they got the leading scorer, the sixth top scorer, the whatever, in quotations, front runner for the Vezina Trophy in Hedman, and they're saying that, you know, he's not on a great team. And the same thing for Kucherov. He plays on, you know, they've scored 30 more goals than the Predators. Like, the Predators don't even have a point a game guy. We've got a lot of depth. We get a lot of offense from our back end. We've got a great hockey team, no question. The other guys, though, MacKinnon, I can make an argument for him. Taylor Hall, the next leading scorer on his team, is 30-some-odd points behind him. So without Taylor Hall, New Jersey Devils are nowhere near the playoffs. So, but, again, we see Pekka every single night. I honestly believe that he should be a Hart Trophy finalist. And I think that award, especially for a goaltender, as playing as well as he doesn't even have, he still has single digit losses in this season, which is just next level. So, do I think Pekka is a Hart Trophy candidate? Yes, I do.
All right, now we're getting the new campaign started, Floyd Reese. And Chris, I will say this, if he pitches a shutout tonight because it's Toronto, and I know that that's not fair, but you know how this works as much as anybody.
Oh, yeah.
I think that becomes the national story tomorrow in this league, is that he's an MVP candidate or a legit top guy for that MVP if he pitches a shutout tonight. What do you think?
That would not surprise me at all.
Well, I enjoyed our debate. You know I love you, right?
Yeah, I do, buddy, and I appreciate it.
Okay, what do you think about tonight's game?
I think, Austin Matthews looks like it's going to be back. I think, honestly, if the Predators play their game, I don't see Toronto being in this game. I'm 3-1, 4-1 type of thing, but we'll see. They got a lot of firepower, too, so Preds are going to have to clean it up a little bit defensively. I thought they gave up a little bit too much the last couple games to Buffalo and Colorado.
Interesting. Chris, we will see you tonight on the TV broadcast. I still love you, but now it's Pekka for Hart.
All right, buddy. All right.
See you, Chris.
See you,
Chris Mason, Preds analyst, TV analyst. I think he's on the Pekka for Hart bandwagon, Floyd Reese.
It might be. Sounds like.
So that's the whole point I've been trying to make.
You don't listen. You're the worst listener in the world.
I think I'm a pretty good listener.
I'll bet your dad told you that all the time.
All the time.
Yeah. You're a horrible listener.
What am I horrible at listening?
I haven't heard a single person, not one person, since we've been talking about this, which has been a long, long time. We have been talking about this, that has not said he shouldn't be in consideration for the Hart Trophy. Never heard anybody say anything other than that. should be in consideration.
Yeah, but now he's been so dominant, he should win.
That's not what everybody else is saying. I'm telling you what everybody else says. In consideration. Key words. I know you won't listen.
I'm listening.
I can see it bouncing off your forehead.
I'm listening. The one thing I will say is, I think when I say not respecting the goalie enough, it's not like I'm saying that you're disrespecting the goalie. It's just, again, I look at him as an MVP candidate. I don't even think about the Vezina Trophy because he's already won that. He has so easily won that. And the biggest difference between when they started doing this and now is not the awareness of should Pekka be the Vezina in the Vezina discussion, because Pekka was third on the list at the midseason. It's that Pekka hasn't lost in a month. Like, that's an incredible feat. So while there's been this whole thing about, you know, pushing Pekka for the Vezina, he's won every game. He's been pitching shutouts left and right. That's the difference. That's why he's now the runaway. It's not because they've you know, had people on Twitter using the hashtag. It's because he's played so doggone good, which is why, in my opinion, the way he's played has taken him from should be in the discussion for the MVP to he should be number one right now for the MVP. And that's just my opinion. And that's my take, and I had it. And if you don't like it,
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
You think he's won the Vezina?
You heard what Chris just said. Chris said it. Not just me. Chris Mason thinks he's won this Vezina trophy as well. We'll take your calls. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM. It's ESPN 1025 The Game.
It's huge in the playoffs to have depth in your lineup. And I feel like every since last year, he stepped up in the playoffs, played on the first line with Phil and Pontus. Pontus stepped up too. He's not here anymore, but you have got to have players that can, if you get hurt, an injury or something, that you have players that can step up and take those positions.
Victor Arvidsson last night on Smashville Live. I think we'd all agree depth is important, right? Especially for a two-month grueling playoff stretch.
For sure, for us.
Well, we're still awaiting the Jokerit game right now. If Jokerit loses, then Ellie Tolvanen can come over here. And Ian has informed me that we're going to our third overtime in the Jokerit. What are the initials of the Army team again, Ian?
CSKA.
Yeah, CSKA Jokerit is going to a third overtime. So, again, that is not breaking news, but that is a developing story that we will keep you updated on throughout the course of the show as far as that depth is concerned.
Holding my breath.
I, again, have a hard time. I mean, again, is it bad, though, that I have a hard time rooting for the Army club of the Russian team? Is that bad? I can't say go Russian Army club. I cannot do that. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it just feels like, it feels like you're rooting for the Russian Army if you root for the Russian Army club hockey KHL team. And it could be nothing. It could be like rooting for the Washington Generals, right? Like, if you're not American and say you're in one of these countries that hates America, like North Korea, right? And so you're in North Korea and you're watching the Harlem Globetrotters, you would have a hard time rooting for the Washington Generals because that team name is too close to that team name is too close to the army that everybody around you tells you that they hate, right?
I did not understand a word you just said.
Ian, did you follow me at all on that?
A little bit.
You know what I mean, though, right?
A word.
I guess so, yeah.
I mean, come on. Okay, speaking of depth,
You didn't take your drugs today, did you? Or you took too many drugs today.
Speaking of depth, I think it's that
one or the other.
I think it's that knee pack that I've been wearing, that knee brace, knee brace I've been wearing.
Not unless you've been wrapping it around your head.
Just my Achilles and my knee. Since I got a little Achilles tendonitis and a little knee tendonitis, but it's what happens when you get old. But speaking of depth, Stu Grimson had something very interesting to say about the Predators and their depth and the guys that are really important to this team on the NHL Network, and it concerns Ryan Ellis. This is what Stu Grimson said.
Another kind of under-the-radar wrinkle. Remember, Ryan Ellis is not available for the first half of this season. They get him back come January. They're a good team without Ryan Ellis. They become a really good team when Ryan Ellis comes back. Since Ryan Ellis was added back in, I believe, middle January, maybe
right
early
after
January,
the new year. Yep.
Four regulation losses in that stretch of time. Here are the things that are really remarkable about that. Look at the goals against per game. Without Ryan Ellis, 2.63. With Ryan Ellis on the roster, it drops by a half goal per game. Really remarkable stuff.
I mean, I thought about that, and I thought, oh, my God, Ryan Ellis is a really big deal to the team when Stu laid it out like that. And I thought to myself, you know, we look at the depth, and we just think, oh, one guy goes out, another guy will come in, and they'll be fine. But is that really the case with this team, or is it to the point like that Stu made there with Ryan Ellis, that having Ryan Ellis on your team, even though you were a good team before he came back, having him on the team makes a world of difference, because a half a goal a game is a big deal.
Right. But I would guess, what's the reason for that?
That Ryan Ellis is a good player?
No. You think Ryan Ellis did it by himself?
I think Ryan Ellis... What's the big difference between the team before Ryan Ellis and after Ryan Ellis?
I don't know, but I'm going to guess with that he's not doing it by himself. I'm just guessing.
I mean, he's a defensive player. They had all the other defensive players in the games before Ryan Ellis.
Right.
Then you get Ryan Ellis back, and it's – I mean, that's – he's the missing link. It's like, well, when they had Peyton Manning, they won 13 games. When they didn't have Peyton Manning, they had the number one pick. It's kind of like that, right?
I guess.
But you're saying it's not.
Well, it helps on the power play, for one.
And it helps on the penalty kill.
And it helps free up Yossi to do a little bit more offensively now that Ellis is there with his other partner, you know?
And it takes one of what I think is the weak. Like, I don't think Alexi Imelin is a bad player, but Alexi Imelin is not on the level of Ekholm, Subban, Yossi, or Ellis. So when you have two pairs that are as strong as Subban and Ekholm and Yossi and Ellis, there's like no weak link there. Whereas when it's Ekholm and Yossi and Subban and Imelin, there's the weak link there in Alexi Imelin. So now he goes from playing second D pair minutes to playing third D pair minutes, and your second D pair is really, really strong. So I think Ryan Ellis plays a big role in that. Like, I think if they're going to win the cup, they absolutely cannot lose the goalie. And I do wonder if they could lose one of the four. And I'm starting to think no. Yesterday, before I heard Stu bring up those stats, I thought, you know, maybe they could lose one of the defensemen and find a way to jimmy their way through it and still win the cup. And now where I sit after hearing that stat, I'm thinking no. Although they did not, they went three games or four games or whatever without Yossi, and they won every one of those games. But I still lean towards no. I think if you were to say, hey, who are the most indispensable players on the Nashville Predators, I would argue that Pekka's number one, two of the defensemen, probably Subban and Yossi are two and three, maybe a forward like Kyle Turris or Ryan Johansson or Philip Forsberg is that fourth one, and then the other two defensemen. Like, I don't think they could lose one of those defensemen and then give up an extra half a goal a game and still be as good as they are now.
Well, then you got, I mean, the defensemen are more important. I mean, the four defensemen and the goalie are your five most important guys.
Is that how you feel?
Yeah, absolutely.
More so than a Forsberg, more so than
absolutely.
It's almost like you figure, okay, if somebody gets hurt on the offensive side of things, like say Forsberg gets hurt, they still have three different lines of guys who can score goals. I mean, they'll still get Elie Tolvin, and they still have Fiala. They still have, whereas if one of the four defensemen goes down, you're putting in Alexi Imelin, who is simply not as good as the other four. And he's playing second pair ice time. He's playing, you know, 20 minutes of ice time a game, whereas he's playing 16 minutes worth of ice time if he's not on that second pair. I don't know. I just thought that take that Stu had, it kind of opened my eyes up to how valuable I think these defensemen actually are. I mean, if they had struggled, like if they were losing games when they didn't have Ryan Ellis, we'd be talking every day on the radio. Oh, my God, only four more games till Ryan Ellis comes back. Oh, God, they got to get Ryan Ellis back. This is what happens when you lose Ryan Ellis. But because they won all those games, we didn't really think much about it. They get Ryan Ellis back in there. It's like, hooray, whatever. And yet Stu reads you the stats, and it's half a goal a game less, and they've lost four games in regulation since he's come back. To me, that kind of does prove his value on some level.
I would agree. I would agree. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt.
So.
But I'm not. I mean, whether you win by two or you win by three, as long as you're winning, does it really matter?
Yeah, but are they winning more now than they won at the beginning of the year because they do have Ryan Ellis back in there? I don't know.
Search your half goal stats and see what you come up with there.
Let's take your call, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Well, I'll say this. I mean, at the beginning of the season, they were kind of entrenched there around third place, where they were kind of fighting along with St. Louis and with Winnipeg, because St. Louis and Winnipeg had like two or three more points than them, but with like three games, the Preds had three games in hand, or four games in hand, and they were like 4 points back with four games in hand. Since Ryan Ellis has come back and they've caught up in terms of games played, they have just been mopping the floor with everybody else in the Central. So maybe that is the Ryan Ellis versus no Ryan Ellis. It's at least worth thinking about. I mean, we'll take your call, 615-737-1025. We're right to your call, 615-737-1025. Hey, is your bracket busted already? We have another bracket challenge with the official ESPN 102.5 The Game 16-team bracket challenge brought to you by the Volunteer Hose and Gasket, Midtown Express Pharmacy, and B&B Flooring. Sign up at thegamenashville.com, and you could win a PlayStation 4 Pro. Jared and the GM live from Bridgestone Arena. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You know, they've proven to be one of the top teams in the East. They're fast, they're skilled, they're young, they compete. They present a lot of challenges, so it'll be a good test for us.
Peter Laviolette talking about the Leafs, which, by the way, that was a wild game they played in Toronto a couple months ago. Preds lost in a shootout. I have my list in front of me, as we were just talking about, like, the value of these players and, like, the most valuable for the team and who's, I guess the word is indispensable, right? Like, the guy you just cannot lose.
Right.
Like, I think we could agree who number one on the list is, right?
Right.
Pekka Rinne's number one. Then I've got Subban, Yossi, and then later in the show today I will reveal the rest of this list. What do you think of that? That's a good tease.
Okay.
I think that's a good tease. Jared on Twitter says, here's a take for you. The most indispensable forward is Victor Arvidsson. More than any of the centers or someone like Philip Forsberg. Sets the pace, out hustles, gets in the hard places, and leads in goals. I could not disagree more. I don't know how you can think that Arvidsson is more indispensable than like a pure talented goal scorer like Forsberg or a do-it-all center like what Ryan Johansson was in the playoffs last year. Arvidsson's a really, really good player. I really like Arvidsson. Like, he is a really doggone good player. But he's not more important to this team than Ryan Johansson. And I think last year when everybody ramps their game up a little bit in the playoffs, I think we kind of saw that, right?
Yeah, in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's just, and I'm not knocking Arvidsson when I say that, because as soon as I say that, 50 people are going to flood me on Twitter with, you hate Arvidsson, Jared, why do you hate? And I don't. He's a really doggone good player. But I don't think he's more indispensable or more valuable than Philip Forsberg or Ryan Johansson and so on and so forth. But we will get to where he is on my list when we do get to that list. But let's go to the phones like I promised. Dale has a hot take. He's up next. What's up, Dale?
Yeah, I'm just calling back in. We're talking about defensemen and who's good and who's great, and this guy's not on. You know, he's not an Ellis or a Subban, but I don't think he gets much love, and that's our toothless wonder, Watson. He's great on the PK. I think he's having a better season than he's ever had. If you had to rank our defensemen, where would you rank them, top to bottom? Let me know. I'll listen.
Well, and I appreciate the call. Watson is not a defenseman. He's a forward. That's why Watson doesn't get, you know, the love of the defenseman, because he's not a defenseman. I mean, it's kind of like saying, you know, why would, when you're talking about the Titans wide receivers, why aren't you talking about DeMarco Murray, even though DeMarco Murray had 500 receiving yards last year. Well, DeMarco Murray's not a wide receiver. And also, DeMarco Murray's not on the team anymore. But I'm just using that as an example. But, like, with Watson, I mean, on my valuable list, Watson ranks pretty highly because of what he does on the penalty kill and because of how good of a two-way player he is. And when I mean two-way, I mean really defensively. Although, nobody scores those shorthanded goals like Austin Watson does.
Got to be the best in the league. I mean, he is super at that.
I mean, he's certainly valuable in all of that, but again, to the caller's point, he's not a defenseman, he's a forward. So, again, the defenseman for the Predators, Subban, Josi, Ekholm, Ellis, Alexei Imelin, Yannick Weber, and then Boteto and Matt Irwin are behind them. And, I mean, it's probably the best group of guys that is out there in the league. Adam is up next here on Jared and the GM. We're live out of Bridgestone Arena. What's up, Adam?
Hey, buddy. I kind of like that the caller, what you just read, saying that Arvey was so important, because I'm at work today, actually, and I have somebody from a different agency come in, and he's wearing a Blackhawk sweater, so I start ragging him really hard, and we start laughing, and he's telling me, like, he's a huge Chicago fan, and I asked him, I was like, well, what's wrong with the Blackhawks? They were supposed to be, you know, the squad. They were leading the division, and he said, well, we don't have a player like Arvidsson on our team. We got these scorers, these old guys and the skill guys, but we don't have anybody setting stuff up for us. And that kind of struck me. You know, you don't appreciate everything Arvey does on the ice sometimes, because you see the whole picture and everybody playing well. But Arvey really does serve a huge purpose to our team.
I didn't say he didn't. I appreciate your call. I did not say that he didn't.
You don't like Arvidsson.
I love Arvidsson.
You used to like him.
I like Arvidsson.
Now you don't like him.
I like him a lot.
I can't understand that.
Stop that. I mean, Chicago's problem is not that they don't have guys like Arvidsson. Chicago's problem is that they pay guys like Brent Seabrook, who are like 57 years old, $7 million, and give him a no-movement clause with a contract that never ends. Like, Brent Seabrook has a Bobby Petrino contract. Infinity years, infinity dollars. No-movement clause. Well, that's why Chicago's lousy. Because they can't pay those guys. Because taking Arvidsson, for example, last year Arvidsson made $600,000, right? This year Arvidsson makes $4.25 million. They can't pay $4.25 million in Chicago because Taves and Kane are taking $10 million each. And then they give guys like Corey Crawford and Brent Seabrook and Marian Hossa, and they give all those guys no movement clauses with huge contracts. And now they're at the point where they're stuck with them. Which it was great when you could afford everybody before you had to pay them. Now you pay them, now you can't afford them. So I don't know why I went on that rant. But again, Chicago's problems. First of all, I think Chicago's going to be good again next year. Like, I know everybody's enjoying kicking them while they're down, and you should kick them while they are down. I am pro kicking Chicago while they're down. But I think Chicago's going to be right back next year. I mean, I think this time next year, we're going to be sitting here saying, oh, you know, got a big one with Chicago. Chicago's number three in the West, and, you know, with Taves and Kane and the new additions they've got, the new this. I mean, I think they're going to be a legit threat.
Are a bunch of those contracts terminated?
No. But, you know, Corey Crawford got hurt, their goalie, and they've had some other injuries. And quite frankly, I think that they realize as a team they've got to change things up a little bit, and I think they'll do that. So I think – I don't want to say they'll come close to blowing some aspects of their team up, but I think they will. I just will not doubt Taves and Kane. I mean, they'll get guys around Taves and Kane, and they'll be back to being good, which is part of the reason why I didn't like giving up a first-round pick for Ryan Hartman, because if you don't want to see the Blackhawks get good again, giving them first-round picks is something that can help them get good fairly quickly. 615-737-1025. Coming up next on the show, I got one hope. For all you crazy pill-taking and Ndamukong Suh-loving Titan fans out there, I've got one question for Floyd about that. We'll get to that coming up next. It's Jared and the GM. We are live from Bridgestone Arena. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.